Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the animated series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by episode to see how this show holds up or if it's a trap of nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real world factors that crept in the writing or if the episode is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm a lifelong fan. I've been familiar with the franchise and the fandom for most of my life. Ed here is he's familiar with Transformers, really nothing got into. So thanks for being here, everyone. Man, Ed, I got to start off saying, like, I had a really cool experience Friday night. We went to the 45th anniversary of Alien, which, being that it came out when I was 2 years old, and I never got to watch in the theater. So
what's that one about?
What's that?
What's that one about?
Alien?
Yeah.
Let's see, people trapped in a spaceship. Basically, it's a cabin in the woods, except a spaceship in the middle of space with you know that one? Okay,
yeah, I've heard of that movie.
I know you're a big fan. So honestly, this is probably my favorite of the Alien franchise, the first one, because, you know, it's people just having to deal with the fact that they have something that is essentially a perfect life form in the ship with them and can, like, you know, hide and everything. It is a slasher. If the slasher was all about instinct and, like, survival. So
have you ever heard the Chinese synopsis of Alien?
No, man.
Okay. So this is translated from the back of the Chinese DVD. The synopsis of the film in Chinese is: spaceship people get up from sleeping coffin and have eat. Computer woman finds strange noisings on planet and astronauts go to seeing. Astronauts find big elephant man who dead, then find too many egg. Astronaut is possessed by egg demon and new egg demon is come home when eat bad noodle. Seven friends and cat all try to find egg demon before spaceship go home, but is hard working. Who will life to escaping? Who is bad milk blood robot? Not working because space make death.
That's so succinct. I love it so much.
It's my favorite movie.
That's so good. It is one of my favorite horror movies ever.
Oh. Yeah, no. So you went to see Alien in the cinema.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. They had a little conversation with Ridley Scott and the director of Alien and Romulus, kind of having a chat before the movie, kind of thing. It really neat. You can see the director for Romulus wants to really embrace the feeling of Alien, and okay. You know, that kind of hopelessness you have. You know, you're not, nothing. You can't do anything. And he's notice how, like, the ship, actually the movie itself has aged extremely well, which has. Yeah, it's fantastic. And I would say so much better because they use practical effects. Like, we've seen a lot of things. You know, practical effects just hold up so well. But so there is a something that occurred to me. You know, we were growing up, we heard, you know, the Tipper Gore response of, like, you know, games and movies are desensitizing us, so we should be protected from this sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, like, well, you know, at this point, we're like 20 years past the age of desensitization. 20 plus years past that whole, you know, thing. So obviously, kids nowadays having full access to the internet and having, you know, we say we monitor them. Honestly, we can't monitor them 24/7. So they're going to see some stuff. Knowing that we grew up with things like, you know, Something Awful and other sites like that, who had, you know, Faces of Death, you know, were was a thing. You know, we had all these horrible things that kind of desensitized us. So I figure now at this point, the kids have gotten even, like, more desensitized. But so we were there watching Alien, and the great scene where John Hurt, Kane, he's woken up from being having the face hugger on his face, and they're having dinner because he's hungry, man. He hasn't eaten a couple days because he's been kept alive by this alien, I guess, parasite looking thing. We know how this all goes. Yeah, they're having noodles and bad noodles. I'm sorry. He has a convulsion. He starts to look like he's having a seizure. They're trying to shove a spoon in his mouth so he doesn't bite his tongue off. That kind of stuff. You know, we don't know what's happening. But
I know the part.
Yeah, well. You know. Many of us do. There was something so cool about watching it on the big screen. It actually made me jump. You know, the scene where you have everyone stops because the spurt of blood hits everyone. It is there's like a half second of pause. There's no music, there's no sound. People are just like, what just happened? My 16-year-old stepdaughter got up and left.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was like, huh. She probably has a pee and she doesn't realize how bad this scene is. You know, pretty big, scene you want to be there for. But she, we were watching the movie. I kept looking over. She's still not there. It's like 45 minutes later, she walks back into the theater. And I'm like, huh, what's going on here? And, the movie's kind of wrapping up. You know, you're at the point where she's getting ready to get into the shuttle and leave. You know, it's pretty intense stuff still. And she leans over and talks to my wife. And my wife plays telephone with me. So that apparently during that scene of the chess person scene, she got so disturbed that she thought she was going to be sick. So she's gone for 45 minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah, she sat on the bench outside the theater for like, good probably half an hour because she couldn't go back in the movie.
Had she never seen Alien before?
Okay, I don't think so. Probably just not something she ever watched. And we watch a lot of horror, but I mean, she's like, nah, whatever.
Okay.
But man, I had to say that watch that on a big screen. It hit so differently. I jumped at things. I watched that movie probably 20 plus times.
Oh
I
yeah.
jumped at things when I have seen that thing. I knew what to expect, but having it on the big screen, it was such a different experience. But yeah, it got to the point where it disturbed her, and I was like, huh, that's actually kind of cool knowing that. We worry about kids being desensitized. And we grew up during the Satanic Panic playing D&D and things like that. And it was always assumed that we're not affected because we played games like Doom or Wolfenstein and stuff like that is very bloody. So we're obviously desensitized. But kids nowadays are playing things that are even better. They're not as pixely as Doom and Wolfenstein, but they're playing it. They're not really affecting them as much. But this whole scene disturbed my 6-year-old stepdaughter enough. She's like, no, I'm out.
That's crazy. That's insane, huh?
But I'll tell you, man, watch the movie in the theater. It was a whole different experience. I like I said, I jumped.
I completely forgot that it was 426 day, and I would have definitely gone to or done something for Alien Day. I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, I know such a fan that you are, that you own the RPGs and such.
I am. I'm a massive fan of it.
Oh, so yeah, same here.
But first of all, you didn't mean something awful. You meant dot com. You meant rotten.com is what you were, I think is what you were thinking of instead of something awful. Something awful is a message board. It's like
Well,
a
it back then it was not just a message board. It was there was a website you can look at, like follow links.
yeah, they had a front page, but it was like it was more like
Maybe
just like dumb comedy stuff. You're thinking about rotten.com is what
I'm
you're
thinking
thinking.
rotten.com, yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely thinking of rotten.com.
Okay,
That had
maybe,
that's the
yeah.
stuff that's the one that had all the gore and stuff on it. That was
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
but yeah, Faces of Death was one of those things that that I watched a bunch when I was a kid. When I was like 12 and 13, I probably
Twilight
should have been
Zone.
watching that stuff. But
Yeah, sure.
it was one of those things where you're like, oh man, I'm watching all that. But it's real kind of weird whenever you go back and you like you it was one of those things that I watched like 1, 2, and 3 like when I was like early teenage years a few times, and I was like, man, that's disturbing stuff, man. Well, and but then like I didn't touch it or think of that stuff for years, because that whole kind of fad of that just like gore stuff just kind of died out a little bit, or died out like a lot. And then you find out that everything in that movie was fake, except for like one thing. It was like one real thing in that, and you're like, man, like I'll say this about desensitization though, because like I grew up watching a lot of horror films. Like when I like starting at 12 or so, I watched a lot of horror. I was like a fiend for, like, I wanted to watch everything, and like the point where I would watch these classic horror films and I'm like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, man, this is boring, man. Nothing happens for like 45 minutes in this movie. This is terrible. And when it does, it's like, yeah, whatever. And like I had like my high school girlfriend was like, she's like, you were just completely desensitized to violence. This is really disturbing, and because it's like, you, like nothing in movies bothers you, and this is really, and I'm like, hey, I'm like, it's movies, whatever. And she's like, well, I mean, if it comes to real life, whatever. But I will say also that I my degree, my college degree is in emergency medicine. I'm a registered EMT. And I was going to school. I was going to paramedic school, and I wanted to be a trauma nurse. And one of my very first days doing clinical shifts, let me get heavy for a second. Sorry, guys, let me get heavy for a second. I watched an 18-month-old boy die because somebody shot him. And I decided at that point that that job is not for me. I don't want to carry that kind of thing around. And you see the people that are actually desensitized to that. It's like it's a level of mental numbness that I'm just not really capable of.
No,
I'll say something that I wasn't numb to, though, is that also probably one of the time I was 15, one of my best friend's dads told us that he had a new video game that was better than Doom. It was two levels better than Doom as far as graphics and quality goes, and it was Wolfenstein 3D. And I'm like, brother, that game is like 6 years older than Doom. Are you talking about?
You know, the only way you know you're fighting Hitler is he has like a little black set of like pixels right here. It's the only way you know it's him.
We always when you fought those one guys in Wolfenstein, they would come out, and they would yell,
Mein Leben.
They would yell Luftwaffe at you, but it always sounded like they were beatboxing. It sounded like they were going huh, every time they would come out.
We were back in high school. It was my friend, one of my best friends, Matt. He was dating Jenny, who's now his wife, and she had taken German in high school. So we were playing like Wolfenstein, every so often. Doom was out, but we're still playing Wolfenstein. And I guess she came over to his house one time, and he was playing it, and they're like the people you kill, and they're like Mein Leben, Mein Leben, and she's like, oh, they're screaming my life. I'm like, yeah, because you're killing them. We're like, oh, that's great. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, just it's
I was screaming for my life after watching Prime Target, though.
oof. This is one of those the stinkers of season two. This is fantastic. This is
Man,
Flint Dilly and Buzz Dixon
it's
too.
Flint Dilly and Buzz Dixon, and I went in and I'm like, oh man, Flint Dilly and Buzz, and I'm gonna level with you, man. I was not in the mood to watch Transformers today, period.
I
I
can
was like,
tell.
man, I was like, man, I can't, like, I just can't, I can't do this today. I took a nap at a weird time, and
Oh yeah.
there's like 7,000 like sports playoffs going on. It was like the NFL draft and NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs at the same time, and I'm trying to keep up with all this stuff, and it's very difficult.
Luckily, I just do football myself, so.
Well, I'm also the new college football video game is coming out soon, and I'm very excited. I'm very excited for this. So,
Okay, that's
well,
cool.
you don't video game,
I have a
Evan?
PS4. Yeah, I do video game. I have a PS4. I don't have PS5 like you bougie people.
I have two of them.
Why do you have two PS5s? Why are you keeping others from being able to purchase this piece of hardware?
Have one for the living room, and then I have one for the den.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes,
And
like I said,
I'll
bougie.
explain why, and I'll explain why, because
Please do.
I bought the first one for my kids. That's an heavy quotation marks. It
Right.
was when you couldn't get them. I scored one through the Target lottery, and I got one for Christmas. And I was like, oh, cool, this will be a good good present or whatever. And then eventually I have like a little tiny like little Zen room. But I may have talked about this before. I used to have a fish tank in there. It turns out I'm really bad at taking care of fish. I cannot keep fish alive,
The fish are the
and
easiest
so.
things to keep alive.
It was very cool. It was real cool because I had this crazy light bar, and you could control it by like an app on your phone, and so you could set it to where it there was like shadows and like an eclipse, and change the colors and all this stuff, so it would simulate day and night. Man, it was super cool. But I had this big, nice, big 75-gallon tank. It was great, and I could not keep fish alive in this thing. I'm just really bad at it. And everyone's like, oh, start with the bigger tank you have, the better, because you have more room to, if you make a mistake, it doesn't contaminated a, you know, a small area. I just killed the entire thing. So I was real bad at taking care of fish. But so we got rid of this fish tank, and I put a, I had another TV. So I put another TV, back there, and it's just like, it's this cool little tucked away thing. It's great. And so after I put the PS5 in my living room, I put the PS4 back there, and like, okay. And I was fine with this. So I would just spend all my time back there, and I wouldn't even go in the living room anymore. And so I would, you know, I could watch TV, I could watch sports. It's right next to my kitchen. So it's cool. So my wife and I can, you know, like make dinner and go sit over there and watch TV, and you know, the kids can still play in the living room and watch TV or whatever. So, it's a cool, cozy little spot, mm-hmm. But, new college football games coming out, and I was like, "Ooh, they haven't made one since 2013." And I was like, "Oh man, I want to play that." And it's PS5 only, so I was like, "Ah." So I traded in, I scraped up and traded in a PS4, a PS3, a Nintendo DS, a stack of games, a bunch of extra controllers, and got a second PS5. I know, man. I know.
Okay. That's cool. Whatever. Yeah. Look at it this way. You cleaned up and you recycled a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I wasn't using that PS3 or that DS. So yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to this episode here. So
yeah.
Flint Dilley and Buzz Dixon together writing this episode.
Yeah. And you think like, well, this has gotta be a winner.
We have a More Than Meets These Guys alumni that wrote this episode. And,
fan of Flint Dilley, so I'm kind of surprised this it just didn't go off better than this.
Can we get Flint Dilley on the show?
I'm gonna try. Should I let you know he's on, or you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah, I knew you were a big fan.
I am a fan. So this episode starts off with we get a jet fighter flying around, and me being a documented airplane enthusiast.
Yeah.
I'm like, that looks like a MiG.
Yep, 100%.
And, I was like, it looks like a MiG. And so we zoom in, and there's a Russian pilot in there that identifies herself as the October Guard, which is a G.I. Joe thing.
Yes,
that's a G.I. Joe thing. Yeah, I love those. Those were cool. I was real into the
submarine.
So she's flying around over the ice, and...
By the way, she's flying over the ice at like 50 miles per hour.
She's going very slow. Very slow.
She's going
as fast as a submarine goes under ice. Mm-hmm. And that is not very fast. Matter of fact, I don't think that a MiG can go that slow. I think a MiG's cruising speed is probably a little faster than...
Wait a second, though. This is an experimental aircraft.
Hold on. Hold on about that, because...
Okay.
No, it's not.
I didn't know you got the specs.
That is a MiG-23 she's flying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the body is, man, but you don't know what else is going on under the hood.
Made in 1967. There were two generations of MiGs that came out after this.
Yeah.
So no, this is not an experimental fighter.
They were mad. They were big mad about it.
The MiG-23 though was it had a variable geometry. It had a sweep wing design like an F-14 does.
Yeah, which is probably really appropriate that they use that, considering you know G.I. Joe being out, the Sky Striker being an F-14 essentially. Yeah, so it makes a lot of sense.
It's a cool plane, but they were already on like the MiG-27 was the current MiG.
I mean, really. Time. When this came out, I think they were like F-16s were a big thing, but they're still using F-14s because Top Gun.
Top Gun wasn't even out when this came out.
No, really?
Yeah, Top Gun came out in like 86, 87.
Okay, so when F-16s debut?
When did the F-16s debut?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Top Gun came out in 86. F-16s came out in like 19, like in the late 70s, I want to say, like 79.
Yeah. So okay. So, but they're still using F-14s in Top Gun.
It's two different roles of fighter, though. In that
yes.
case, F-16 was never designed to be a successor to the F-14, though.
Different style. I get it. F-14 being a surface air. Was it?
No, because it's an F is fighter, so
F-16
that's air to air. I mean, it has air to ground capabilities, but no, the F-14 was a Navy fighter.
Well,
It, it's it's
yes.
it's a carrier based fighter. The
Okay.
F-16 is an Air Force land based thing, single engine versus two engines. Anyway, this is beside the point. I'm just saying that
Okay, sorry.
I'm just saying this is not an experimental fighter. This is.
What if the MiG this MiG-23 had something so it could be it could exceed the category? What if it secretly had VTOLs in there so it was flying kind of slowly, do a little hover?
Maybe
You
it,
know
maybe
that
it.
it's October Guard, man.
So a submarine breaks up out of the ice
Okay.
and captures this thing with a claw.
Actually, it's
With
just like a grappling hook that opens
like
up, and pulls it
it's a
down.
grabbing, it's a grabbing claw. It looks like a 40K orc thing is
Yeah,
trying is.
actually, it's pretty spot on. And the pilot like ejects slowly. There is no get up and go to this pilot. She's like,
We. And
gonna.
we never hear from her again. I want to know more about the October Guard. I
No,
want to know if
she
she's if
like
this
ended up on the
is.
in that flow of ice, and she's like looking down at the water, and I expect him to come back to her like having a fire where the October Guard comes and rescues her.
I want to know if this is Dana from the October Guard.
It's possible. They were the elite force of the USSR.
They were. Even though she was from the Czech Republic. Actually, it would have been Czechoslovakia at that point, but.
But
Did my
well.
research on all this, dude. But anyway, so this thing gets like dragged back to a castle.
Yeah, we meet Lord Chumley, and he apparently has moved Castle Ravenloft to his home where he inhabits that, and has a museum of his big game hunting trophies.
This guy's big game hunt trophies are. A wrecked helicopter, a crash tank. This dude's got a jet fighter hanging on the wall.
He's got that jet bar hanging on the wall.
Hanging on the wall. He hung it on the wall, like
Like
vertical.
a yeah. That's pretty ballsy, I gotta say. That's pretty nice. He's got the thing secured to the wall. He's like, yes, that was a tough game, and I captured it, and this is mine now. And he acknowledges that the world's pretty pissed off right now. They wanted they're like rattling sabers back and forth between the USSR and the United States. He
His
doesn't
butler
care.
does this. His butler Dinsmore.
Dinsmore, yes.
Dinsmore, who looks like this guy looks like that guy Riff Raff from
He
the Rocky
does.
Horror Picture Show.
Or if people don't know the Rocky Horror Picture, which you should, he looks like what's his name? Chris Elliott's character from Scary Movie 2.
Oh, I don't know that. I've never
Dude.
seen Scary Movie, any Scary Movie. You know what else I've never seen? And I've never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I've seen a lot. I used to go to the midnight showings. It was fun.
I'm not a fan.
Man, okay, I'm gonna end this. I'm sorry, I'm gonna shut this off. This is it. End of the podcast. We made it this long.
Out.
But
We cut to a town though, and we've got more tracks, man. We've had a lot of tracks in the last few episodes. I'm not
we're
like.
hanging out like New York adjacent town, but that actually plays into the episode later on, which is kind of nice.
It Trax and Bumblebee are the, I guess, are the Autobots du jour.
For the
But
moment, yeah.
we have both triple changers though hanging out. This is cool. This is
Dude,
cool.
they go in right up to this like TV store, like you've always seen like movies where there's like 20 TVs playing the same broadcast in a window in a shop.
Have you ever seen that?
Never. I've
I've
never
never
seen
seen
that.
a store with a bunch of TVs in the window, and people just like, I'm just gonna stop and watch TV in the window of this thing. This only
Yeah.
happens in movies. Like,
Yeah, so
I'm
but
convinced.
like you're saying, like Blitzwing and S-Train just like start waltzing down an alley, and they're they Trax and Bumblebee see them, like, oh, we better chase them,
So
they can't catch them.
Trax goes, "Don't make me resort to violence," and then he immediately goes for a bear hug.
Yes, which is shocking because
Oh,
Blitzwing disappears.
holograms.
But man, this is Lord
Hologram.
Chumley in a garbage truck with his hologram projection rifle, which
Yeah.
has the garbage truck has a big claw, which grabs her tracks and drags him aside.
It's also the grab and claw is also like perfectly formed to like track to the like the compartment of tracks, like the cabin of tracks. That was kind of cool. That was handy. And then like, but like the next
There's a
part of this,
lot of handy things.
Bumblebee sees this and he's just like, I'm not gonna help you at all. I'm gonna run
I'm
away.
out.
Like, I'm out. He transforms and rolls out. And but it's weird because then like a garbage truck or something pulls up and like a ramp goes down and he just drives up on the ramp and just like, all right, well, I guess let's go. I was real confused. I don't know what's going on. Like
Yeah, it's like he was almost like he was like, well, all right, I'm not getting out of this. I'm just like here, I'm just gonna die now.
it was like, well, I guess I'm gonna get on this thing. It was he just like voluntarily got into this thing. Like why'd you do that?
Oh man, the best thing happens though after this. We go to the Autobot base. We have Blaster, Grapple, Beachcomber, and Jazz watching as the kitchen sinks. And they're
They're
into the
watching a
show,
soap
man.
opera. They're watching a soap opera called As the Kitchen Sinks. And this
That
is
was the best thing
Jehu
of
should
the
have been on this
episode.
one. We should have had Jehu on this one because that dude loves soap opera. That dude's a massive soap
Both of
opera
you do.
fan. God, like I mean, like look, I like Dallas, but like no, he legitimately I randomly caught a commercial for soap operas the other day, and it was like a character that like I hadn't seen, and like it was that eye patch dude from soap opera from like All My Children or something like that. But like I was like I messaged him and I was like, hey man, this eye patch dude is still, and he's like, oh yeah, he's back. And I'm like well, he's like, oh yeah, it's awesome. Well, yeah, he's been gone for like 20 years and he came back and this is going on and this and this and this. And I'm like brother, next thing you can tell me that like Robert Scorpio is back. And he's like, he is back. Robert Scorpio is back. And I kind of nerded out about Robert Scorpio being back because that's
I
pretty
don't know who
cool.
Robert Scorpio is. It's not my. It was
Man,
not my jam.
you're missing out on a
Well,
lot
I
of
guess so,
shows.
man. I watched Days of Our Lives when I was my teenage years because it was on during the summer and I had nothing going on in the summer, so I watched a lot of that. Anyways, this broadcast is interrupted by Hector Ramirez.
Did he identify himself as Hector
He did
Ramirez?
not, but he's apparently he's in.
Is
I
this
did
Hector
research
Ramirez?
on this. He's in the script as Hector Ramirez.
Okay.
He shows up in first in G.I. Joe 20 Questions. And he shows him in some other episodes of G.I. Joe. And then he also shows up in Jim, who apparently where he apparently is he works for a tabloid magazine. Like I can't remember the name right now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so he's in all these, he's also in Inhumanoids. But this is his debut in Transformers. He is the binding force of all the Sunbow shows.
Symbol universe, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
he dude, you look at him and you say, like, that mustache is a Geraldo Rivera
Oh
mustache.
yeah.
Completely is. So this
Well,
is
Buzz touched on that in the interview. I mean, if listeners out there, if you haven't listened to our Buzz Dixon interview, you should because it was really good. But yeah, he touched on how that he doesn't like tabloid style reporters. He's like ghoul reporters, which is that was very much what Geraldo Rivera was doing back in the 80s.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, he wanted to kind of lampoon that. So like
Al Capone.
I mean I think it
Well,
worked.
as long as he found Al Capone's vault and opened that up, it's all
Dude, I remember
worthwhile.
watching that
I
garbage. Man, I was
do.
so mad.
I do. It was
Man,
terrible.
we're just gonna stop the drilling. Man, I wasted like 2 hours watching that dude like
We all
drill
did.
Al Capone's vaults.
Like half the world wasted that 2 hours.
Man.
So yeah, but so Optimus comes out and he's like, oh, is that the news broadcast? And he tells them they must go find Bumblebee and Trax and gets his group to go with the best car, Jazz, getting Blaster jumping in. That has to be the best ride between both of them.
You're so loud in there.
Oh man, that's great though. Think of the music. That's good music.
I bet there is. They're probably listening
Some
to Kool and the Gang.
dude, I was about to say the exact same thing. You know they're listening to Kool and the Gang.
Hollywood Swinging.
Oh,
They're listening
summertime
to Hollywood
madness.
Swinging. Dude, so, oh God, this Lord Chumley's got a million booby traps.
These are the best booby traps, though.
Beachcomber gets caught by a toll booth.
He
And it's like
does.
everything is on like these snake arms. Like he's
Yeah,
like,
he
it's like
stops. You gotta give it to a beachcomber though. He's like, oh, here you go, and drops his money in there, and
he
then
pays the
he's
toll. He
going
pays the
through. He's
toll.
like,
Yeah.
well, you're not getting another dime from me, and you can give him some grabs him. And then like Jazz is looking through every car. She's trying to find Trax, so he knows Trax is gonna be getting like a buff shine somewhere to car wash. He finds it. Oh, where's this car wash coming from, man? And he goes in there and the claw grabby thing pulls him up and shakes him a lot and then electrocutes him and then puts him in a truck, takes him away. There is the weirdest stuff though.
Dude,
Oh God.
Blaster.
Oh yeah, before we get to that, I gotta jump on this real quick. So Beachcomber is paying the toll. He comes across, captures him, and Chumley goes, "Marvelous snare, just like a Japanese tiger." There is no Japanese tiger. Tigers are not indigenous to Japan, first of all. But yes.
I mean, I've seen a lot of Japanese silk jackets with tigers embroidered on the
Oh,
back of
yeah.
them.
Oh,
So they
100%.
must
But
have.
they're not indigenous to
Must be. They must be.
Japan. Oh, there's also the grapple gets nabbed by a pile of I-beams that turn to a cage. Somehow
That
it's
was cool.
safe. It's
That
been
was
hit.
pretty cool.
So, and then like that at that point, Chumley's like, he learned these tribal tactics from years of studying the Kibalaru tribe, which doesn't exist. Just so everyone knows,
I
there's
don't think
no.
they build with I-beams
Yeah, oh,
and have
100%.
robots either,
Yeah.
even if they do exist.
Chumley is just like, he is having his own little like acid trip of a hunt. All this stuff doesn't exist. He's like making it up. And Dinsmore's like, "Yes, of course, sir." But do the
Oh,
bill.
we'll get to that in a minute too. But so yeah, Blaster, there's a billboard that has like some hands on it for like a hand cream or something, and these hands like reach down and grab Blaster and they
Yes.
transform him. It's like you playing with a toy.
It is. Did you read the billboards though?
No, what did the billboard say?
The first one had like a guy on a motorcycle says, "Don't fly, drive. Don't drink and drive."
Okay.
Okay, whatever, man.
Sure.
But yeah, there's another one looked like it was a movie poster. I couldn't really make it out. There's another one that had that was the one that had the hands on it. It said, "Try our hand lotion, creamy cream." So
Creamy
that was
cream.
creamy cream. Yes,
Oh,
that was the
yeah,
hand
creamy.
lotion. And there was also a Canon billboard, which is pretty accurate. The Canon billboard had like optics, cameras, calculators. I'm like
Canon
that's.
billboards show up in a lot of anime and cartoons I've
Yeah,
found, but
yeah. But yeah, man, the
so
Krimi Kreme board reaches down to Snags Blaster for its
Snags
one.
Blaster transforms him and throws him into Lord Chumley's car. So do you have any memories of cool billboards? Like, I mean, like that those gimmicky billboards are kind of a thing. Like, there's like in town, there's one right now. The weirdest one is this one for a lawyer, and there's like a 15-foot tall model of him, like with his arms crossed, like on it. And when you first see it, you think it's just like painted on the billboard. But as you get closer, you're like, let's go, like, oh, that's an actual 15-foot tall dude on
Yeah.
there. It's real weird. But there was also the one, like, you might remember this from when you lived here, though, that over on the west side, there was a Busch beer billboard that had this massive can of Busch beer on it. But at the top, there was like a smoke machine that would just project smoke. It was like opening like a you know like you're opening a can of beer, and like
All the
the you know the
fizz, yeah.
the fizz comes out. Yeah, so it would just constantly like spew smoke out of this thing, like you
Don't
were opening a
drop your
beer.
12
That was a
pack.
super cool. That was a super cool billboard.
Yeah.
I would never drink Busch beer, but that was a super
Do you
cool
remember
billboard.
there's a lawyer, God, I think it was about maybe 10 years ago. He got arrested for a DUI or something like that. He's like a DUI lawyer. And I was in one of my accounts talking about it, and this
David J. Maloney.
yes, it is
Yeah.
J. Maloney, yes. And there was this woman who I just had kind of a crush on at the time. It was like I said, 10 years ago, so way before I met my wife. And she would it was apparently his stepdaughter. I was in there talking to someone that day, and I was like, "Oh, there she is." When I go talk to her and stuff, I was being all shy and stuff. I don't know why, because I'm not usually. But yeah, man, she was like, I was talking about it, and she comes up to me. She's like, "That's my stepfather." I'm like, "Oh, well, I'm never going to take her out." Okay. Well, anyway, that's all that happened like in a matter of 5 seconds. Like, well, that crush is going to be unrequited. Yeah. Okay. There's also the lawyer. I cannot remember his name. Like, he is all over Alabama and
Alexander Shannara.
Shannara. Dude, that guy has
I'm a
billboards
lawyer enthusiast, apparently.
going on to Atlanta.
Oh,
I
dude,
was.
oh, those the dude, if you're not from the South, hey, listeners, if you're not from the South, man, just Google Alexander Shannara, and there are a million memes about how many billboards this guy has. Like, there's like you can see him
Insane.
like there's one like on the moon, like, I think.
I had some friends who were from Gadsden, Alabama, which is kind of like north and west of us, but kind of closer to Birmingham. And yeah, they were making fun of it at one point. Like, dude, I know this guy. Really? Shinar is there too? He's
Oh yeah,
everywhere. He's everywhere. He's
he's all
regional.
over the entire state. But so
Anyways.
Lord Chumley captures like every Autobot, but somehow this dude is able to. So like you're to assume that these Autobots were working like at the same, they went to the city and they split up and they're driving around. This dude is like changing into different costumes and disguises and getting different machines like super fast, man. This dude is like, this guy is great. He's got like, I mean, like, well, like what's going on here? Like, how is he able to do this so quickly?
He's got means, I guess. But yeah, even like Optus like realizes after Inferno's captured and like kind of gets off a little message real quick. I love Chummy's like, interesting creatures these. I usually see most creatures run away from fire, but they're riding right towards it. Well, yeah, he's a fire truck. But
Apart.
anyways, yeah, the he tries to he Optus is like, hey, everyone go back to base. Something's up. And Windcharger is captured between, this is the worst trap of all, between the railroad, barriers. He just transforms and walks off the track and like gets on in the side. And Chelly's driving a train. And how did he get into this train and going this fast in this one intersection after he
That's what I'm
just
saying. That's
left
what I'm saying. He's in a
our
different like
station?
uniform and everything, and
This is
he's
some like
trying to
Super
blow this
Friends
stuff
stuff.
up.
This is
So
some
it
Super
is
Friends
Super
stuff,
Friends
man.
stuff
It's
because
so good.
we go well. We find out that his whole goal is he wants Optimus Prime's head. That's
Yeah.
his goal is Optimus Prime's head on his wall. But he has all these death traps. He has a bespoke one for each like Transformer. Like he's got like Bumblebee is on this thing where like these blades are coming at him. So he has to constantly
Yeah.
transform to not get sliced in half. And then he's got Beachcomber on the Wheel of Pain from Conan. And then
Does.
Trax is on a figure eight Hot Wheels track. He's on the crisscross crash and laser beams are shooting at him.
Dude, this is like Saw traps for every one of them. Like if you can get out of the trap, your life can be spared because,
If you can get out, yeah, if you can get out of
if you
the
can get out of this
trap.
trap.
So do you want to play a
Optimus
game?
Prime.
Optimus Prime decides to call this guy on the video phone. But remember old phones, like the big heavy ones?
Oh yeah.
Remember old like old phone, you know where you had the rotary dial or something? After a while you had the
Well,
buttons or
yeah, okay,
the
for
one
everyone who doesn't know, back in our day. Yeah, anyways, go ahead.
we had big plastic and metal phones, but I mean even in later phones, like the landlines, they had the metal plate on the bottom usually and all that. But one thing that I really miss about those phones is that if you're talking to somebody and you got mad and like mad at somebody, you could slam those phones down and it would make a real satisfying crash when you did that, like bam. And those things were made out of like I don't know what kind of plastic that was, but you couldn't break that.
I've never broken a phone
You
ever.
cannot, you could not break those
Okay.
phones. And like,
A landline phone. I've never broken a landline phone.
yeah, landline phone. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But those phones, like, not so much like the later ones with the clear phone that everybody had in the
Oh,
90s.
yeah.
Like that thing you can break, or like the Garfield phone, you can break the Garfield phone. The football
I
phone, the football phone you got from Sports Illustrated, you can probably break that. But the hamburger phone, maybe. But like the actual phone you got from the phone company, that thing was indestructible. People make those memes about the Nokia like 8420 or whatever,
No.
and like no, you have no idea. These things, like those phones, would survive like a nuclear war.
Dude,
But
I have thankfully gotten good enough cases for my cell phones.
oh, that you
I
can.
get pissed, I throw the phone and like, oh, it
Oh
was a
yeah.
mistake. You throw it, you leave your hand like, oh no.
Oh no, yeah.
It's not paid off yet. But
But
yeah, luckily I invest in pretty good cases, so I don't have any problems.
see, the thing is like when you slam those phones down, it felt real good for you, but
Oh
the other
yeah.
person didn't know because when you hung it up, it pushed those buttons down before it slammed. The phone was hung up,
It
so
was
all they would hear was the
loud.
click. They wouldn't hear the bam, but it felt
Son
good
of
for
a.
you. It felt really good for you anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But like with cell phones, you don't have that at all. Like all you can do is just mash a button real hard on a touch screen, but there's no effect for that. There's no sound or whatever for
Yeah,
that.
like what you do, you usually leave me on red. So, yeah, it happens too.
Leaving on red is kind of like slamming your
Yeah,
phone.
that's famously Ed does that. But, anyways.
Yeah. Look, man, I try
Real
to
bad
have
about
less.
that.
I try to have less technology in my life. But
No
I'm like,
KBS. Those are two PS5s.
I try to look at less technology in my life. I only use one of them. So, I was driving over to my favorite eatery one time over on the west side, and I passed. There was a liquor store on the way there, and there's a guy on the sidewalk in front of it talking on a flip phone, right? And like this dude got so mad at whatever he was talking about that he took one step into the street and he absolutely like spiked this thing as hard. It went into like a million pieces. And I'm like, that's how you slam a
Gratifying.
cell phone down. That's how you slam that down. But okay, so
Back to
Optimus
the
Prime is on the phone, on the video phone with this guy.
Yes.
Okay. Optimus Prime's on the video phone with Lord Chumley, and he gets real mad at him. He's got a big Frankenstein power switch here. That's a feedback overload switch. Okay.
It's a slave.
What this does, he can blow up other people's phones. He can blow other people's phones up. From
right, I'm gonna mute that because I was dying of here.
Dude, I need this.
Oh my god, it was amazing too.
I'm like, I'm like, on the phone all day long, dude. If I could blow somebody's phone up, if that possibility was there, you know how civil people would be on the phone all the time. This is great. This is the single best sci-fi invention I have ever seen in any sci-fi property. Because everything from Star Trek basically has come true. I have an iPad. Like phasers are basically a thing. The only thing I don't have is holodecks. You know, you have VR. Replicators, I mean, 3D printers are a thing. I don't have this though. Like,
man,
why isn't Elon Musk working on this? I don't need a stupid rocket.
The best part is it was as large as Optimus Prime's hand, and it was all written out, like it was labeled, so they didn't forget what it was. Like, oh, don't use that. Let me get a
only Optimus Prime can use. Only Optimus Prime can use that. Jazz can't use this. Like Trax can't use this. Huffer can't use this.
Nope. Absolutely
Wind
not.
Charger. Nope.
No. God, no. Not
Sideswipe. Sideswipe. He's not allowed to use this.
Sideswipe would want to use this. He would be like, dude, watch what I'm going to do. And Sunstreak's like, no, man, I'm going to do it first. And like, right. Prime comes in and says, guys, don't touch it. It's mine.
Ironhide can probably use this.
Ironhide does. He's like, back in my day, we would throw stones down to shatter them.
He's authorized to use it, but he's like, Perceptor, probably authorized to use this because they know he's not going to actually do it.
He's not going to do it.
So Optimus Prime agrees to a duel with this guy before he blows his phone up. This is cool. He's going to go over to his headquarters and have a duel with him. And Lord Chumley says, here comes the robot now dressed as a semi-truck.
Yes.
That's a good line. That's how I want to refer to the alternate forms all the time now.
Like, actually, though, the right before that, though, Megatron finally shows up and Starscream's commenting that this guy, Chumley, has done more in 2 days than Megatron's done in 2 years. Megatron backhands him.
He's got a valid point.
He does.
He's got a valid point.
100% valid. This is all good. So he's like, Trouble Changers. And there's like a side by side with like Blitzwing and Astro Train. And he's like, hey guys, it's on you. Go take care of this.
Like, I can't be bothered with this. I'm too busy doing whatever he's doing now, messing with space bridges or something like that.
Starscream around, yeah.
The subtitle is called Densmore, the butler, Densmore. They call him Some More.
Just, hey, Some More, do this.
Optimus Prime shows up at the headquarters and fights a dragon because this, he's got a pet dragon.
Yeah. So, first of all, Chumley says, I welcome to my highly researched, well-researched mock-up of Cybertron, where dragon attacks.
No, in a dragon attacks. This was not a well-researched thing. I did more research on a Cybertron in this episode than he did, apparently, in the entire thing.
Yep, the dragon comes from like the deep reaches of Borneo.
You ever been to Borneo?
I never have been to Borneo. Have you?
57% of Borneo is rainforest. So all I'm saying is that it's possible that dragons are in Borneo.
Yeah, but it's possible before we find a dragon, we'll probably level it all because I'm a nihilistic environmental scientist. Anyways, so yeah, we will probably kill the dragons and we will never see them. But dude, I love where Chumley after he defeats, he does like a flying kick and knocks the dragon off into this pit of like no bottom. It's just like a black pit that goes on forever.
What is it for?
It's so he can throw people down like Luke and Bespin. He can like throw them down a shaft.
Yeah,
that's
that
all
place,
it is.
That Cloud City floated though. I mean, it makes sense. You have like an exhaust vent or something like that. Like,
I don't know.
Just
like,
I'm just going to build a pit in the middle of the earth. But
well, dude, he has a dragon.
He has a dragon.
He's a dragon.
He can also so to touch on what Starscream says. All right, about how he can beat all these guys. So this one dude. This one rich guy is able to beat and capture all of the Autobots. Like he's doing really He's doing real well against Optimus Prime too. I mean, he's about to beat Optimus Prime. But the Decepticons can't do this. Like, these guys who are designed to defeat the Autobots, they can't do this. But this one guy with a butler and a bunch of money, he can do it. So this is yet another piece of evidence saying that we need to tax the rich way more than we're taxing them.
Like, amen.
All the money that this guy is spending to catch robots could much better be spent for some social programs. Like, imagine if this dude like built like some rec centers.
Dude, if this guy could spend the money he spent on trying to capture the Autobots on our healthcare system, we would have universal healthcare.
Which nobody would be, no, there'd be no hunger because this dude's too busy catching.
The person that showed up earlier with Instacart at my door would have all her teeth. It was jarring. It was really nice, and I felt I didn't want to say anything about it, but it was like when it's like right in your face. But yeah, the thing is though,
she's a listener probably.
Oh God, sorry, Christina.
So he says he's outsmarted by a Lori. I love the word Lori. That's a cool word. I have a cousin named Lori, and I always thought that was really funny that I was when I first
probably not spelled the same.
Trucks Lori's over there.
Then again, I think old Chumley is a man of the world. So of course he started in London, as we tell from his accent.
Well, I think that's where he's a lord. Is that he's
Lord Chumley. Yeah.
He's a lord. I mean, he has the castle and all that. He's legitimately.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He brought Castle Ravenloft, and that's where he lives. So it makes sense. He's lord of Castle Ravenloft.
So the Triple Changers show up, and a Blitzwing.
He falls over a pipe.
He falls into some green stuff. I didn't get what this was, but it's funny because the voice acting just goes. Astro Train. Hello. Blah, 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 blah.
No, this is a great scene, though. Sorry, you missed this. Basically, Lord Chumley has this woman attached by a chain to an anvil or something. And she's like, please help me, sir. Help me. And Optimus Prime goes up to the best thing ever. Optimus Prime's like, not this time, Lord Chumley. What if it was a real woman? He walks off.
He totally knew what was up. But yeah, exactly. What if?
Blitzwing walks over there. He's like, I'm going to smash her. Optimus Prime never turns around. He's like, I'm steps on her. And he gets trapped in like boogers and snot cover him or something. I don't know.
Has Blitzwing ever done anything cool?
There's that one episode where he, it was actually during the Golden Lagoon where he had like, he's like in charge of some like, dirge and like
that's right
go after them. He was really cool for like a minute. He had that first episode cool
that's
going
right.
on now I he's at this point on he's terrible. But
I mean this guy is like, he's a jet fighter and a tank and a robot. He's like a sushi roll of cool kid stuff. He's like a Futamaki roll with all of amazing stuff that you want when you're a kid, but they don't ever use him.
When he trips, he transforms to a tank and hides behind in the corner. You can see the tank treads and the turret and the barrels together. Office Prime's like, well, I guess I didn't hear anything. Weird. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, it's like Saving Private Ryan over here.
He's around the corner as a tank. So he's captured.
He's captured and Optimus Prime. Okay, dude. Optimus Prime.
Yes.
Optimus Prime says, oh my God. He says, oh, good. A booby trap that catches boobies.
Like,
man. I would have gotten in so much trouble at my dad's if I would have heard that and said it. Because like one time I got in trouble, my dad would just randomly hear me say words and be like, like one time I was playing with superpowers. You remember superpowers? Those DC figures. Those are really good figures. But I was playing with those one time, and like I had watched the show, and like Lex Luthor or somebody said like, I'll get you fools next time or something like that. So I was like, oh, fools. That's a good taunt. So all my villains said fools for like 90 seconds. And my dad was like, did you just say fools? I was like, yeah. He's like, don't ever say that again. And this might be the first time I've said fools since that time, since I was seven. I'm like, if I'd have said boobies, dude, I wouldn't even be here to be doing this. I'd be so traumatized from my dad being mad at me. I would never look at a Transformer again.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is one of the things that happened in the 80s. There's always one episode where a line was like something about booby traps catching boobies. It happened on Scooby-Doo, happened on this, and it just happened, like probably happened on G.I. Joe or something. I don't know.
Goonies?
Yeah.
Booby trap?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then the Chumley's like, Decepticons, trust them, spoiler hunt. And Dinsmore says the worst, best thing ever. Yes, sir. Like the Humane Society in a way.
This guy is like Jeff Bezos.
He's
Dude.
Yes, they try to protect all those endangered animals, sir. You're right.
Eat the rich.
Holy.
Like, get a guillotine right now. God. Like, where's Jim and the Holograms to come kill this guy and like fight the power against this guy? Like, right now. Right now. Like,
Riffraff is just getting all the
dude.
secrets away.
And then he busts out, of course, he's got a scorpion mech.
Robot Scorpion with
He's
a
got a
TV
scorpion mech
screen in the
with a
front.
TV screen over his
So he
face.
can watch Optimus Prime struggle against him.
This is awesome.
Oh, but so Prime's fighting the Scorpion, and like Astrotrain walks up, like, oh, this is a perfect shot. Shoots Optimus Prime in the back, and like Chun-Li rage quits, just like, no,
Dude, he's so
I'm
mad.
done. You've
Dude,
ruined.
he's so mad at this whole thing that, and like he gets mad at the Triple Changers for taking his for like taking away him taking Optimus Prime's head, and then but he just leaves Optimus Prime laying there. I guess what it was is that he needed the because he's a big game hunter, and they took the hunt away, and he couldn't just take like a dead Optimus Prime,
Yeah, it's like
and
cheating.
like
He didn't get
so yeah, and then so like Prime gets up and runs at him, and then.
He gets thrown in a rock tumbler for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like the
And
thing
like,
from 2001.
yeah, then he like throws his hands up. He's like, roar, and breaks it open and comes through the screen. Like the television.
I think that was just one of those like 80s things where
Yeah.
you'd break through the screen a lot of times. It's like in a movie when a guy would break through like the movie screen. I always thought that was really cool. And then I'm like, man, how did that happen?
The Optimus Prime's in there like kind of trying to get Chumley, and Chumley goes to the Triple Changer and says, if I free you, will you help us? Yeah, trust us, the Decepticons. We're not going to deceive you at all.
It's in their name, dude.
And Nane goes over, and Satchel's like, I'm going to step on you now. And then the Autobots show up, they're all free. And the Triple Changers fly off because they have no weapons apparently right now. And then Optimus Prime returns the Russian jet.
Oh no, he said earlier when he had the Triple Dangers captured, he said that he diffused their energy weapons. But they didn't.
Which
Although Oh no, that okay, no, that was after that was after he shot Optimus Prime. So
yeah.
never
Nope, no loophole there, man. This all makes complete sense. Every bit of it. But yeah, so Chumley's cowering in the corner, and like the Autobot. And by the way, Dinsmore is hiding in the tank the entire time. They never find Dinsmore. He's just hiding in that tank.
He hid in a tank. Yeah, that was
He's like, I got all this is all mine now.
I was expecting it to like shoot something with that tank,
Yeah.
and that didn't come to
Yeah, it was like, it looked like
fruition.
an old Russian, I cannot remember the model of the tank.
That was like a T series, like a
Yeah,
T-34 or
early
something.
Russian tank. Yeah. So maybe just Chumley has a thing for Russian hardware, like military
Maybe
hardware.
so. Maybe so.
But Optimus returns the Russian jet and Lord Chumley hogtied on top of it, and everyone's happy, and they all thank Optimus Prime for doing the great job and helping them. Not the rest of the Autobots, just Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime, yeah.
Yeah,
Well, the rest of them didn't do anything, so
that's true. They got captured.
they all got captured.
Yeah, they did that. They escaped their saw puzzles, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah, that's it.
That's
That's all
it.
this is. This knockoff Kraven, the bounty hunter.
Man, it was kind of like Kraven, wasn't he?
It was
So
really
yeah,
bad.
man, this episode was to be honest, man, it was kind of a chore for me to get through.
Yeah.
Like I really wanted to like it, starting off with being a Flintdillion, a Buzz Dixon episode. Kid Brain would not have cared about this in the least bit. So I mean, I guess you got to see the Triple Changers show up, and that's kind of what Kid Brain would have been there for, but there really wasn't enough of them doing anything. You had some like dude with a mustache in this, and like I didn't like dudes with mustaches when I was a kid.
Makes sense.
I
Just wouldn't
didn't
have
want anything
known.
to do with them. It's like I was talking about with those ninja movies I've been watching recently, and the ninja pulls his
Yes.
mask off, and he's like, just a white dude with a mustache, and it's like I don't know, man. I don't like this. Kid Brain's gonna give it two slam down Bell South phones Out of five, beige probably.
Yeah, six out.
Adult Brain. I mean, yeah, it was just, it was, I don't know, man. It wasn't, I don't think it was bad. Like I can't really tank it, but I just, I don't know, man. I just, like, I don't know. I always thought, I don't like those things where like one insignificant dude just like runs your entire team. You know, it's like, I'm like, I don't know, man. I see what they were going for with it. And, but it's like you totally, you devalued like all the Autobots and you devalued all the Decepticons at the same time by this one dude, this by this rich dude. And so I mean, but it, I don't know, it just, I didn't really find it to be that fun either. So Adult Brain's gonna also go to Midnight Rocky Horror Picture Show viewings, followed by a trip to Denny's at 2 a.m. for Moons Over Miami, and then waking up tired to go to work the next day. Out of
I feel
five.
that. Yeah, I feel that a lot. Yeah, this is one of those episodes where I'm going like, well, man, this is gonna be one of those where Ed's gonna go like, really, man, we're watching this. This is typical afternoon cartoon fodder. This is exactly what it is. Like, I feel like Buzz Dixon goes and says to Flint, like, Flint, what are you doing, man? Like, what, why, what is this episode? And he's like, oh, you know, it's great. They're gonna be Lord Chumley, and like, but this doesn't work. Well, let's try to wrap it up. Let's just make it a like whole like, you know, death race thing where it just didn't work. It's terrible. Hey, what's up, dog?
Hi, only listeners, I just panned my camera down to my dog. My dog is
I was really happy it was his dog. He starts panning his camera down, like, I don't know if I want to see this dude, to like make sure it's appropriate. Yeah, man. And
he's very antsy right now. He's ready to go for a walk, but
I could tell. Yeah, so that honestly, there was a few things about this episode that made me laugh, and I had to stop and like, what? Especially God, the Humane Society line. I was just laughed for a few minutes after that one. But honestly, yeah, honest, this is just not a good episode. It's really a forgettable episode. Like, they could have rinsed and repeated on every other cartoon out there, and they probably did. Where's the guy who was a mix of an off-brand, like Kmart version of Kraven the Hunter meets the guy from Jumanji, the hunter guy, and it was terrible. I yeah, the booby traps just shows you that money does everything. You have the money, you can do anything you want. Capture Autobots. But at the end of the day, man, you have to give this really like two feedback overload levers out of five on this, just because that was one of the only things that was really fun about this episode. And I want one of those right now because I have people who call me during the day for work that I would love to do it to. I don't even care about throwing down the phone. I want to feedback overload their phone. And that's how I feel about it. So yeah, everyone, this is, we're getting that point in season two where there is some bad ones and some really good ones. Next week, by the way, spoiler, it's another bad one. The
Oh,
girl
good.
who loved Power Glide.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after that,
No one likes
it's
Power
good
Glide.
again. Yeah, well, Kang, well, that's cool, man. Bang, zoom.
All
We're gonna
right. Well.
have a little honeymooners episode, I guess.
All right.
That said, man, everyone, if you are enjoying it, if you are like us, by the way, as of tonight, we are 502 downloads away from 10K, man. Jump to,
Wow.
I know, right? Thanks for everyone who's followed along with us. People in the Discord, thank you so much for, like, you know, I okay, Tim, David, you know, Boo, of course you're there. You know, Zab, Trigger, all of y'all. Thanks for being there. Jess, if you ever come back again, I emailed you recently. Missed you. Come say hi again. Everyone who's there, Mr. Mystics, Mr. Piddlix, I can't. Yes. Anyways, all of y'all, thanks for being there. Come say hi again. Start the conversation. Join us. The Discord link will be in the show notes. Email edhitstransformers@gmail.com or morethanmeetstheseguys@gmail.com. Check out the YouTube. We're having a little issue still with doing GIFs, so I may just start doing some still images and overlaying them for the YouTube in the meantime, just because I want to get all these episodes up there also. But anyways, Thanks for being here, everyone. And we will see you next week for a riveting episode of The Girl Who Loved Power Glide. Take it easy, y'all.
Roll out.
More Than Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.